Hey, welcome back to this whole journey we've been on through the book of Galatians. There's so much in this book to take a hold of, and today we're going to be looking at chapter 4 and the first verse of chapter 5, and a few places here where Paul really gets down to, you know, assessing what this really looks like to either engage the gift of God in grace or to try and justify ourselves in works. There's a couple of other passages that I'm going to engage this morning as well. One is Romans chapter 5, and the other is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And both of these passages sort of give us this sense of what Paul refers to as the wide open places of grace, as interpreted by Eugene Peterson. So I'm just going to go with Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and you really get the sense of what Paul's heart is in this. And then listen to the words used in these other two passages that really speak to that wide open sense. It's also the reason I've chose to share it from out here today, because when you look at the expanse of the sky, I really get this sense of the far horizons and the wide open spaces. And so I hope you get that feel in the setting here as we listen to the words of these readings.
Good morning. So, Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery to the law. And from Romans. By entering through faith into what God had always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, make us fit for Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already thrown open His door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. And a final reading from 2 Corinthians. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide open spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from inside you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively.
You see, Paul's whole point of Galatians is to reinforce this truth that all we need in relationship with God is found in Christ Jesus alone. It's referred to as the all-sufficiency of Christ. His point? Jesus is enough. It's Jesus, the work of His death, His sacrifice, and the forgiveness of sins we find in that sacrifice that is enough, full stop, nothing else. It's not Jesus plus obedience. It's not Jesus plus adherence to the law and all these things that these teachers were trying to add. It's like saying, yeah, Jesus is okay, but you need all this extra stuff. And Paul is coming and saying, no. It's Jesus. That's it. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul says there is a point to the law. In fact, Jesus himself said, look, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. You see, it's Jesus who says he came to fulfill it. When Paul was writing to his friend Timothy, and it's recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, the law is good when it is used rightly. And what's that right use of the law? Well, again, it's Paul who says it's the law that was given to identify sin. to reveal our unrighteousness rather than our righteousness. You see, what was happening was people were taking this law and then measuring themselves against law to prove their righteousness. And actually, Paul says the point of the law is completely the opposite of that. It shows up our unrighteousness, our shortcomings. You see, in Hebrews, we're told it's only faith that declares us righteous. It's not my works creating righteousness and giving me that relationship, but rather it's my faith in Christ's fulfillment of that law and then his sacrifice, and that work in me then producing fruits of righteousness. It's like the complete opposite working. So there's really just two ways that Paul's looking at here. Jesus plus my efforts, or my practice, or the working of myself or my flesh, or it's Jesus alone, Jesus plus nothing, which equates with promise, or the work of his Spirit in me. You see the two options? It's either his Spirit at work in me or my flesh at work. It's either his promise or it's my practice. It's either Jesus plus nothing or Jesus plus my doing. Here's the funny thing. Both of them have the same end in mind. Both of them have this desire to get a hold of God and his blessing. The motivation is actually right, but the method is where it just goes so horribly wrong. You see, one takes it into our own hands, and the other leaves it in God's hands. Let me say that again. The motivation is right, but the method gets it all wrong. One takes it into my own hands and my ability, and the other leaves it in God's hands. You see, this is why Paul, in the end of chapter 4 here, goes to really the book of Genesis and the account from Genesis chapter 12 through 21. You see, there's this tension, there's this difficulty where sometimes it's almost like we think God needs a hand. And that's exactly what Abraham does. Abraham, I feel like his motivation is right, but it's just taking so darn long. And in the end, Sarah, Abraham decide that God needs a little hand. And so it becomes our own efforts to fulfill God's purposes. And the result of it? Disaster. There's this continued enmity, this continued battle between the child of the outworking of their helping God, or the flesh, which is Ishmael, and the child of promise, which is done according to God's way. And it's Isaac, and it's a kind of confronting, messy story. But this is what it ends up looking like, and this is what Paul says. When we want to help God out, where we want to just make it work out, it just gets messy. Isaac, on the other hand, is this waiting and reliance on what God alone can do. What you see in this passage in Genesis is that both Abraham and Sarah come to a point where they've got nothing to offer anymore, nothing but their own inadequacy. And gosh, we don't like that, do we? I don't. I don't like feeling inadequate. I don't like feeling that there's nothing I can bring. Surely there's got to be something. But the reality is no. With Abraham and Sarah, their bodies were beyond producing life. Nothing. But God's ability alone comes in, intervenes, and gives them this child, Isaac, and he becomes the child of promise. So what Paul is saying here is that Ishmael represents what we end up with in our own efforts. Here's the funny thing. It looks the part, but it's not the promise. I imagine when Abraham and Sarah had this baby long before it begins to go messy, they're looking at it and thinking it's the child of promise, that, hey, we've worked it out, we've helped God along, and here we are. But as time went on, it just became messier and messier. And so often that's the point. We look the part, but we've missed the point. And we're not really inheritors of the promise. Isaac represents what God can do when we're past doing. Grace is about what God does in us when we can no longer do anything. I loved what Ellie said last week about grace. It's this flow of grace. It's the rhythms of grace, and it's not just our own rhythms. What Ellie said last week is it's this different rhythm, this different way of doing it. That's the beauty of His grace, and it is amazing. And I have sort of chosen today to just sit here in this space, in the wide open horizons, and grab my own guitar and invite you, if you want to enter into this space of His amazing grace. Because there's nothing else that we have to bring. It's a matter of receiving, where He doesn't need our help.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now
that's the thing, is it is purely about the grace of God in Christ. And it is amazing. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to polish it up or make it even more valuable or better. It's the fullness of the goodness of God and His grace. Paul goes on to say that the way of the enslavement to that old way of living and trying to abide by law and do it myself, and the way of promise and grace have nothing to do with each other. In fact, it's a really sort of hard statement, and it feels conflicting where Paul writes there and he says, you've got to get rid of one. You've got to drive that slave way of doing it, that enslavement out. You can't cohabitate. They will forever be at war with one another. You either walk in grace or you don't. As I said before, the law was designed for one thing and one thing only, and that was to reveal our sin and our unrighteousness. And we are foolish if we try to prove our righteousness by adherence to that law. Those who think that they can and have what it takes will always come up empty. There'll always be this self-condemnation or the condemnation of others that you're not enough, you're not good enough, you don't have what it takes. And we'll only really ever come to peace with grace when we go, you know what, I don't. That's the truth. Those who accept their emptiness, their barrenness, their inability, who come with nothing but need and are willing to confess that need, then receive what God has promised. Then become recipients of that grace when we actually say, man, I need it so badly. And so I wonder this morning, when it all comes down to it, what is it that you're relying on? The grace of God, or that somehow you're good enough to receive the gift of God? Is it the free gift or the earned wage for your goodness? I wonder, how does it make you feel to actually admit you're powerless and unable? That's something to think on. How does it actually make you feel? And I would say this, as Paul says in Galatians, don't go backwards. Don't go back to trying to prove that you are good enough. That think about yourself in the light of, yeah, I guess I inherited this because I was good enough. No. The reality is, grace is the free gift of God in Christ. Galatians 5:1, listen to these words. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, no longer be subject to any yoke of slavery. The work of God in Christ in you, by His Spirit, will produce fruits in keeping with righteousness. But you don't get given the gift of God because you're righteous. In Christ alone, I place my trust. How about you? I leave you with that question. How about you? What is it that you're relying on? And maybe this week, as you go into your days, start your day with God. I'm relying on you, on your grace, on your ability, on your strength. I pray at the end of this week you'd be filled with joy, realizing that you're set free. And enjoy it, the wide open spaces of it that God intended us to walk in. God bless and have a great week. See you soon.